Okay, welcome back, students and listeners who have been listening to this show in the past, and you newcomers, you're especially welcome. First timers, I hope that you find something in this podcast that will be interesting or illuminating. I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 008 of the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com podcast. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing and understanding. So here I am doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. I'm glad you're joining me. Well, I want to welcome a new student to my schedule. His name is Kai. He is one of the consultations that I mentioned in last week's podcast that I was going on. He's a beginner with really an extraordinary musical instinct, and in his first lesson he exhibited excellent potential to become just a monster guitar player. Kai, you can go far with your guitar playing if you practice, and if you are absolutely sure to ask me anything you don't completely understand. The reason I'm your teacher is to answer all your questions and guide you. So that was a lovely experience meeting Kai and beginning to teach him. Little more update on the podcast link or links and subscribe information. We're just about to the end there. I have begun working with new software that works with Dreamweaver, which is what I use for my website, and I'm going to aggregate the podcast myself rather than using the service that I originally signed up to use for July and August. So certainly, I'm hoping today, but I'm certainly before the end of the month, I'm going to be moving my URL, my feed URL, and we should have flawless interaction with iTunes and subscribing through a regular RSS feed that isn't iTunes. So bear with me. Thanks for your patience on this, and it's almost done. So it's just been very, very unusually busy summer for me. So that's about all I have to say in this intro. So hey, eighth podcast already. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, let's move along and start the show. Our first segment, as usual, is the Student Spotlight. In the Student Spotlight this week, I have six students. And again, I want to reiterate that I'm always going to do this in alphabetical order, never order of importance or who did better than anybody else. The order of students in the spotlight this week are Arno, Arthur, Brittany, Danielle, Kai, and Melissa. And I'm going to go from backwards to forwards and making a little comment this week, which I don't always do. Melissa, it's been a while since you've been in the spotlight. You did really, really well. I'm thrilled at how much you're retaining, despite that sometimes we're on and off in the summer because of your schedule. So really, really good job. Kai, you're a new student and you did fabulously. Keep up the good work. Danielle, we're working on really complex music, and I like your zeal, and I like how you reason and fathom everything we're doing. You're showing fabulous, fabulous potential, so keep up the good work. I missed you last week. I'm glad you're back. Brittany, hang in there, girl. You're doing just great. Good progress for a beginner. I'm going to miss you this week. I know you're off doing family things, and I hope to see you next week, and just keep up the good work. Arthur, every week you're amazing me. It's just a delight to teach you. And Arno, you're doing really, really, really well. I like your work ethic, and I know this past week was just a little less practice than usual because of the securities exam, or whatever you want to call it, that you had to take, and I know you had to take a little time out of your practice, but you're doing just tremendously. So kudos to the whole bunch of you. You did great. Don't forget, students who are listening to this who are not in the spotlight this week, please remember, I don't ever compare you to anyone else. The reason any student is in this spotlight is if they're doing extraordinarily well for themselves. I only compare Arno with Arno and Melissa with what I know Melissa's potential is, or Brittany with what I believe her potential is. So don't ever think because a particular student always shows up in the spotlight, it means there's no room for you. There's room for everyone in the warm glow. And again, I never ever compare one student to another, ever. So you're working, well, let me put it this way. When you receive praise from me, it's because you're working up to the level that I know you can do. I don't expect anything unrealistic, but I do expect you to be working. So great job, you six. And I like to see some of you are continuously in the spotlight, so that's just a wonderful thing. Okay, so let's move on to the question of the week. It's a little bit long. Question of the week was from a student who has been playing for less than a year. She's an adult who has a way too busy life with work and taking care of family members, including a less than 1 year old collie dog, whose name is Kingo. He's really cute. She's also very busy maintaining her relatively new home, and she doesn't have much time to practice. And she doesn't even know she asked a question because it wasn't really a question. I'll confess, her question was actually something that she could not, when she could not answer my question. So my question to her was, why are we learning this particular group of chords together sort of as a unit? Now, here you can pick whatever chord you want for the main chord of the group. Let's just say for this discussion we're going to use a C chord. And we're going to use that for a lot of reasons. But okay, so let's say my question to her is, why are we learning the C, F, and G and or G7 chords together rather than learning C and C minor and C7 together? And by the way, when I say G or G7, I'm in no way saying that they're the same chord and that they're equally interchangeable. They're not the same chord with different names, but that when we learn a G and a G7 chord, we frequently learn them with those other two chords, namely C and F. They're, as again I said, G and G7 are not totally interchangeable. Well, sometimes they are, but they're not identical chords with two different names, the way D4 and D suspended 4 are exactly the same chord with two different names. So I just want to clarify that for you who maybe are not so familiar. Okay, so my student valiantly tried to suggest that the particular voicings and fingerings of the chords we were discussing were similar. It was a good try. At least she was thinking and trying to bail herself out of a question she didn't know the answer to. But it was incorrect. You more experienced guitarists know that the key of C's primary chords, and I mean primary, not all the chords that ever show up or that can be used in the key of C, but the primary chords with which you can harmonize a traditional and simple melody in the key of C are C, F, and G, or C, F, and G7. Now, the reason that some students are taught that particular group of chords, and in the case here again, we're talking about C, F, and G, or G7 by some instructors, is because those are the primary chords of the key of C. Because they are the primary chords in the key of C, they frequently show up together in music. So it's a really good idea to learn them at the same time. And really, really, I'm very big on looking at the mechanics of when you move from one chord to another, what mechanics is your hand actually going through? Because later on, as you develop as a musician, you're not always going to finger a chord exactly the same way, even though you're playing the exact same fingering on the neck. I mean, you know, if you look at a chord diagram, the diagram may look exactly the same in two different instances, but you may really choose to use different fingering because of where you've come from getting to that chord or where you're going to when you leave that chord. That's another discussion for another day. Okay, so I'm not going to go into modulation of and key changes here, but I'm going to try to explain why these chords are the primary chords of the key of C. And keep in mind the same logic is applicable to why the primary chords in the key of F are F, B flat, and C and or C7, etc. So this is not a strictly key of C illustration. It works in any key, and I'm going to just give you a real brief overview. Okay, if you don't know a C scale and you take guitar lessons, change your instructor. I hope that all of you know and understand what a C scale is, and that you play some scales as warm-ups and speed studies and various dexterity exercises based on scales. It's really important for your technical development. Well, let's assume that everyone listening does know what a C scale is and has actually played one and hasn't just memorized a tab for a C scale, but actually knows what notes they're playing and why they're playing them. Well, that being our understood foundation, if you build a triad, and by triad, tri means three, a triad is a three-toned chord in root position, and by root position it means that it is stacked vertically, and it goes consecutive space, 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 or consecutive line, line, line. And when we say root position, we mean that the name of the chord that is being created by that triad is the bottom note. Okay, so if we built a root position triad above each degree or upon each note of the C scale, here's what your result would be. You would have a C triad, you would have a D minor triad, an E minor triad, an F triad, a G triad, and an A minor triad. You would also get a B diminished triad, and for our discussion right now, we're not talking about anything advanced. We're not even going to deal with that triad. Okay. The key of C is a major key. Mainly, when we talk about the key of C, when we talk about any key, if the word minor does not immediately follow the note name of the key, it's a major key. It's also major because of a particular sequence of whole and half steps from beginning at the first C of the scale and ending with its octave. And that formula or sequence of whole steps and half steps conforms to the necessary order of whole steps and half steps for a major scale. Okay. So the primary chords in a major key are the major chords that result from building a triad upon each note of the scale. And in this case, it's the C triad was major, the F was major, and the G triad was major. All the other chords are minor, and that B chord was diminished, and again, we're not going to deal with him right now. Now, I'm not suggesting that one might not encounter or choose to use the minor chords when harmonizing a traditional melody in the key of C. I'm just saying that's a little off point, and I'm just saying they're not the primary chords of a key. All right? So we learn the C chord and the F chord and the G chord together under the umbrella of the chords in the key of C. We also include a variation of the G chord called a G7 chord, which contains the notes of a G chord plus the half-step lowered seventh note of a G scale, hence the name G7. With the addition of the F, that's the half-step lowered seven of the G scale, into a G chord, that's what makes it a G7. A lot more tension is heard in a G7, which also causes the listener to hear an urgent need for resolution. And some other time we're going to talk about resolutions and where chords, quote unquote, want to go. So if you're a student, your instructor should be taking you through particular keys and their primary chords, explaining why you're learning those chords together. Let's just expand a little bit further since we're on this subject. So in a major key, the chord built on the first, fourth, and fifth notes of the scale are major chords or triads. In the same key, the chords are built on the second, third, and sixth notes of the scale. Those chords are minor. So in the key of C, the chords for something traditional that does not modulate to another key are C, D minor, E minor, F, G, or G7, and A minor. The G7 would only be used if you really want tension in your cadence or in your chord progression. And again, we'll talk about that a little bit another time. Customarily, in a traditional simple major song, the chord built on the seventh degree of the scale, that B chord, is diminished and it's not used. That's in traditional simple music. I'm not saying it isn't used in jazz or in some other genres. Well, what about a minor key? Well, let's take a look. The primary chords, again, are going to be the chords built on the first, fourth, and fifth degrees of the scale. This time, when we build triads on every degree of a minor scale, and let's say for this illustration we're going to use the key of A minor, the triads that result are A minor, B diminished, C, D minor, E, F, and G sharp diminished. The primary chords of the key of A minor are A minor, D minor, and E, or if we want or need a little extra tension, E7. I didn't say A minor, D minor, and E minor. Notice, the chord or triad constructed on the fifth degree of every key is major. Always. The five chord is always major. The C and F chord can show up in this harmonic setting just as the A minor, E minor, and D minor could show up in the key of C. So, think of your chords in key settings as well as in note name families. You need to know what chords show up in a key like C, F, and G, or A minor, D minor, and E, and you should also be able to take a chord through all its variations such as C, C major 7, C7, and those are not the same chord. C major 7 and C7, definitely not the same chord. You should know C minor 7, C minor 7, that a C minor 7 doesn't sound minor or 7. You should be getting to know those things. And you might even extend it farther into 2s, 4s, 9s, or 11s. Besides being chord literate, as a guitarist, you really need to understand what makes a C chord, and what makes a C minor chord, etc. So, this was a very, very long question of the week answer, but I hope you understand why, if you have an instructor who's taking you through particular keys, and you're learning groups of chords, in case your instructor hasn't told you, there's definitely a reason for learning. Let's again just take in the key of C, C, F, and G, or C, F, and G7 together, as opposed to C, C minor, C minor 7, C major 7, C7, primarily because those chords don't show up all together almost ever. I mean, I can't think of any circumstance where I've seen all of those chords in one piece of music. That's why you don't learn them together. Effective instruction would teach you in a practical way, not just a pedantic, heady, strictly theoretical way. Okay? Well, that wraps it up for this really long question of the week. Let's move along to the news. This week's news comes from the iconic electric guitar company Fender. The news is that the Sonoran SCE Dreadnought Acoustic Electric now comes with Fishman preamps and tuner. Now I have to put a small disclaimer in here. I have never in my life ever been wild about Fender acoustic guitars. I have never played or heard one that I liked enough to have someone I care about plunk down money for or buy. I have to confess that I have not played the Sonoran SCE. Any acoustic electric that comes with Fishman preamps and tuner is worth mentioning because of the quality and name recognition of Fishman products. So let's talk about this guitar. This Dreadnought is a cutaway, California series, with very unusual Strat headstock, soft C-shaped maple neck, and checkerboard binding. Now, see, when I look at an acoustic guitar and it's got a Strat headstock, my brain says, hybrid, that's the best thing my brain says. My less charitable part of my brain says, this is, you know, an explosion in the factory, or they had Strat headstock left over that they didn't want to waste, and they stuck it on the neck of an acoustic guitar body. I tend to be stringently purist in my views. But anyway, you know, no big deal. It would drive me up the wall to have a headstock of a Strat on an acoustic guitar, you know, because I would forever be wrapping my hand around the other side of the headstock to tune the higher three strings for like 6 months it would take me, because it's just so ingrained in my brain. Okay, but anyway, that being as it may, you may really like the idea of a Strat headstock on your acoustic electric dreadnought-shaped guitar. Some cool features that it has include a new vintage-inspired pickguard design. It's not a standard shape, it's very vintage. Rosewood fingerboard and scalloped bracing inside. And bracing is real important in a guitar, so that's probably more important than what it looks like cosmetically. The inside bracing and the sound are the most important things. And the inside bracing has a lot to do with how the guitar sounds. Okay. It comes in a few colors. It comes in Fire Mist Natural, Lake Placid Blue, Candy Apple Red, and Black. The body is laminated mahogany. The sides of the body are laminated mahogany. The top is solid spruce, and it's a glossy polyurethane finish, not one of these satin finishes. Okay, the neck shape is Vintage C, and it's a 20-fret guitar, which almost all the Fenders are. So the special electronics are the Fishman Isis 3 system. Okay, so you've got your headstock and body are sort of painted in a matching way. It is a Strat headstock, very, very unusual, really a tight dreadnought body shape. There's a dual-action truss rod, traditional Fender bridge, factory-mounted forward strap button with internal block reinforcement. That's important on your guitar strap, you know, people. You know, you've got to know what's inside your guitar as well. You've got white dot inlays, a checkerboard rosette, and multiple body bindings. Check it out if it's something that interests you. I like that the Fishman is standard on it. It's real good quality electronics. If it's your taste in sound, knock yourself out. If it's your taste in that your guitar looks acoustic and has a Strat headstock, marvelous. So that's the news from the more than iconic Fender Guitar Company for this week. Let's move on to Take Note. I'm doing this sort of subconsciously, I think, but the last couple of weeks I've been trying to tie the Take Note segment into the Question of the Week segment, if it works. And this week it works also. If you've been playing for longer than a year, and the Question of the Week this week was, and the answer to the Question of the Week this week was new information for you, you should already have been introduced to and need to look into something called the circle of fifths. I'm not going to discuss it at great detail until next week, and I plan to do a little bit of an expose on the circle of fifths, and I will have a really choice, downloadable, fully featured one up in the show notes next week. But it's important that you know what it contains. And I'm going to just give you a little sort of tease for next week's expose on the circle of fifths. When I was a youngish musician, my instructors never suggested that I use a circle of fifths. I learned what I know about keys and chords and melodic and harmonic devices and features and mechanisms solely by virtue of use. The truth is, not every guitarist is going to make playing the guitar a lifelong, passionate pursuit, but that doesn't mean they don't need to know some things. So, for those guitarists, in order to be informed, capable, and well-rounded musicians, you that I'm speaking of need to access information that you haven't already discovered through playing and may not discover through your playing for quite a while, or maybe even ever. A preeminent necessity is your very own circle of fifths. I invariably draw one with a simple Sharpie inside the cover of my students' music manuscript books. I think they need to have it. It's not always a beautiful one. Sometimes it's a little lopsided, but the information's there. Now, you need to be familiar with the term interval. An interval is the distance from a lower note, lower pitch note, to a higher pitch note. And intervals are the basis of all musical harmony. They figure very heavily into melodic exploits as well. Do you recall that I said the primary but not only chords in a key are the ones that are built on the first and fourth and fifth degree of the scale? What I mentioned in my really long-winded question of the week this week? Well, if you'd like to take the work out of finding those chords, you can use the circle of fifths, which can also tell you how many sharps or flats are in a key signature, what those sharps or flats are, the relative minor keys to the major keys. It's just an amazingly brilliant device. If you look at a circle of fifths as though it was a clock, when you move from any note name on the circle of fifths clockwise, you arrive at the fifth for the original note. Say I look at C and I move one letter name on the circle of fifths, or the clock-like circle of fifths. If I move one space clockwise, I'm going to find a G. Then, if I go back to C and move one space counterclockwise, you will arrive at that original note's fourth. So if you look at C and go counterclockwise by one letter name, you're going to arrive at F. So, to quickly find the chords in any key, you can determine that by the circle of fifths. You find the key name and add to that key name the chord of that key. In other words, okay, so let's say we're looking at E. So we're going to take E, we're going to take one chord in the counterclockwise direction, which is going to be A, and one chord in the clockwise direction, which is going to be B. We're going to talk about the circle of fifths in depth, and if you do begin using it before next week when I go into a good bit of detail about it, just keep in mind that whenever you take that primary chord's clockwise neighbor, the one that's the fifth of its key, in this case if we say E, his clockwise neighbor is going to be B, that's the one chord that can be just as you find it, or you can use a seven chord depending on what sound you're looking for. So I will give you a lot more extensive information about the circle of fifths in next week's episode, if you have one available. I will put one in the show notes next week, probably not today. If you have one available and it still mystifies you and you're not really quite sure what you do with it, and you know it has information, tune in next week and I'll be glad to do a bit more in-depth expose and hopefully help you understand how it can really be your friend and all the different information offered therein. That about wraps up this week's segments of episode 008. So let's get moving on to the outro. Students and valued listeners, thanks for your time and for joining me once again. This episode of the Guitar Technique Tutor.com podcast is brought to you solely as a way to give back to the people coming up in the guitar world. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that you might like to explore further in the show notes for this week. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, and I will spell it for you, GUITARTECHNIQUETUTOR.com, and that you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please take note that there is no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me with your questions for the question of the week. If I use your question, I will be in touch with you, and I will send you a very, very official red GuitarTechniqueTutor.com podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique, or you can join the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com Facebook page. Links to both are on the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com website, on the homepage, and they are also on the show notes page, or the podcast page. If you are seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen and Rockland towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwa, Midland Park, Montvale, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddlebrook, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Tuxedo, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. Calling is best, and my phone number is on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. This is still a good time to get in my schedule, although it's tightening up a good bit. Have a great week. Practice. If you have a circle of fifths available, you can download one from the internet. We'll be talking at length about it next week, and I hope you'll learn something you don't already know about it. And thanks for joining me. I really appreciate your listenership, and I hope there's always something on this podcast that enhances your guitar life. Until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time.